What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Looking ahead to the Titans' big matchup on Sunday against the Colts. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Chris Hagan from CBS4 in Indianapolis. Chris, what's going on, man? Thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
Well, just to warn you, I woke up before noon, which I never do, so I sound like Sam Elliott. I'm about to do a car commercial voiceover.
There are way worse people to sound like. That's good stuff right there.
Yeah, but, you know, Michelle, my old intern, so I had to come through. So here we are, ready to talk about, you called it a big matchup. I'm not sure how big it's going to be, though. I mean, wait a minute. Carson Wentz just sprained another ankle.
I was going to start.
His third ankle.
Yeah, so Chris, has there been anyone that's volunteered in Indianapolis to donate one of their ankles to Carson Wentz at this point?
If he did have three legs, he'd have three sprained ankles. I don't know what's going on. I saw him yesterday. We talked to him. He didn't have a boot on, and it's so sad he didn't know which leg to limp on. He was kind of walking, you know, like the turtle walk there. He's in good spirits. He says he's going to, quote, throw the kitchen sink at the ankles, which I don't think will help, but he's going to try to be ready. He can play through the pain. It's a matter of, you know, he's not going to be 100% if he does play, and this is a guy that relies on his mobility so much. So, I mean, you're going to get him, or you're going to get a Jacob Eason, or you're going to get a Brett Hundley. The latter two split the first team reps yesterday. Hundley, though, I mean, I think he'd get the start. He has 9 career starts, but hasn't had one since, like, 2017. So, this team has really been set back ever since Andrew Luck retired. You know, I think it set the franchise back a decade. You know, you did a stopgap with Phillip Rivers, then you think you make the move with Carson Wentz, and a guy who, quite frankly, has struggled when healthy, and that hasn't been all the time. So, you know, he had the foot surgery out of nowhere 6 or 7 weeks ago. He's getting back from that, and now you throw the 2 sprained ankles on there. So you have to wonder when and if he'll ever be 100% this season.
What have you thought about his play, Chris, before he got banged up Sunday?
You know, what's funny is I thought there'd be some rust to knock off having not played at all in the preseason, and that he would kind of have a stinker or two once he got back on the field. But he really didn't do anything to get the Colts beat in week one or week two against the Seahawks or Rams, 2 really good teams. In fact, against the Rams, the only reason they were in that game was his ability to get out and keep plays alive and scramble for yards, pick up first downs, and he made some great throws. It's just that this offensive line, has not lived up to the billing. This is a unit with 3 first-round picks on it. 3 first-round picks. Now, granted, all 3 of them, Ryan Kelly and Fisher and Quentin Nelson, they've been coming off surgeries or injuries of some sort, so they haven't been 100% either. But they'll all admit they haven't done their job. You haven't had the running game you expected with Jonathan Taylor, who had a breakout rookie season last year. You haven't been protecting the guy you brought in and you knew was kind of like a Fabergé egg to begin with. So the Lions got to pick it up, regardless of who the quarterback is on Sunday, for the Colts to have any chance. That O-line needs to live up to the big paychecks they earn.
So, Chris, to that point, I mean, and you brought it up. I mean, we in Nashville, we look at the Colts and we say, man, the offensive line is a big strength of that team. And you brought up the injuries that they've been dealing with. Is it just as simple as it's going to take some time from an injury standpoint for them to get back up to speed? Or are you seeing things with this offensive line that you think is a real concern with this group as they move forward throughout the rest of the season as well?
I think it's I've talked to a lot of the guys individually about, you know, you think about chemistry needed for a quarterback and a wide receiver, but, you know, that's what the fans love to see is the skill players. But that offensive line, time on the field together is huge too, and getting that chemistry and working back in. They've been mixing and matching guys, too. They haven't all really been out there at the same time for an extended period of a game. So I think that will come. I think it's a prideful group of guys. And I think, not to mention Braden Smith, he's out. He hasn't been practicing. So you're still down one of your hosses. So it's going to take some time, but the guys that are in there, you know, they got to play through some pain, and they got to get the job done because, I mean, like you said, you're sitting there in Nashville and you're well aware of what kind of O-line unit they have, and they've got to get out there and show it.
Chris, on the other side of the ball, a lot of talk yesterday, obviously a lot of questions about Derrick Henry, a lot of answers about Derrick Henry, a lot of focus on Derrick Henry. And I just thought last year, I guess he ended up with 100 in that game here, but I remember coming away from that game saying, man, the Colts did a great job. And I thought DeForest Buckner was the key. And then, of course, he's not in the game when Henry runs wild when the Titans go down to Indy and win in the rematch. How important is he to this defense? And do you feel like this defense is or can be as good as last season's?
Well, that was the goal. You know, you have him, you have Darius Leonard, and the goal they had set was they wanted to force 40 turnovers this year. So they set the bar high. And we found out earlier this year from Buckner that he was playing with a fracture in his hand for most of the season last year, had a cast on, and you saw how good he was. He was the one talking yesterday about how with Henry, like you said, you can keep him in check, 2 and 3 yards a pop maybe. You do that, and then in the fourth quarter, there he goes for 55 yards. There he goes for 40 yards. So he's one of those guys that you can feel like you have a good day against. And I know you saw some of this last week in their win out in Seattle. You know, the old cliche, this guy's going to play 60 minutes. He's going to play four quarters, and I can't imagine what it's like to be trying to, you know, take those blows there and taking him down and taking those hits and stiff arms because he doesn't get tired, it doesn't seem. I grew up in SEC country, so I've hated him for years watching him play for Alabama, being a Mississippi State fan. But, by the way, Mississippi State fan, let's give it up for the College World Series champions, people in Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
Like I am.
Uh-oh.
I know you're excited like I am.
Get it in.
Anyway, I had to do that. You know I had to. But Henry, he's a freak of nature. And it's like they were saying yesterday, Blackman was saying yesterday, you know, he hits. You got to be ready. You can't practice that. And, you know, like they say, everybody's got a plan till you get punched in the face. He's going to be a factor in this game. The Colts have been better at tackling this year than they were a year ago, but you've still seen some moments where you're like, man, you got to make that play. You can't let a 2-yard play turn into a 20-yard play or a 10-yard play. And there's nobody better in the business than Derek at doing that.
Chris Hagan on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, talking Titans and Colts. And Chris, yesterday Frank Reich says he's got confidence in Jacob Eason if called upon, if he's forced to play quarterback coming up on Sunday and Carson Wentz can't go, which, as you know, I mean, Colts fans just love to hear that yesterday on social media.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, if it is Jacob Eason and he's the guy, what's your game plan if you're Frank Reich to try to go into Tennessee and get a win in a game where, you know, staring down the barrel of 0-3, this is a game that the Colts have just got to have?
Yeah, and it's great that Reich says that. You know, you want to be like, you know, he says, I've got complete confidence in Jacob. So after I say this, we're going to go activate Brett Hundley from the practice squad. We're going to split snaps with him. That is how confident I am in Jacob Eason. Well, we heard from Marcus Brady earlier this week, and he said, you know, there's a particular set of, you know, the whole same playbook, but you'll get with Jacob and say, okay, which of the plays are you comfortable with? Which of these plays can you go out here and execute? Which of these plays are you going to be able to, you know, I talked with a tight end, Jack Doyle, and he said one of the things the veterans can do is like, hey, when he's calling the play in the huddle, let him know that, hey, some of these are wordy plays and terminologies. Reassure him like, yeah, we got it. We know this, and help him maybe even call the plays. So when you're talking about worrying about that, that's why you want to maybe have a guy like Hundley who's not going to be a deer in headlights, you know, making his first start in a huge game like this because, I mean, 0-3 since 1980, six teams have overcome that to make the playoffs. That's like 3%. Now, granted, this is a longer season. They've added the game. Granted, we've seen some horrible divisions like last year, the NFC East. But I don't think, you know, I think Jacksonville and Houston will play that game with the Colts. I don't think the Titans are going to play that game of, hey, let's see who can go 7-9 and make the playoffs. So that's why this is so huge. And the Colts already lost two games at home. Now they're playing the division, you know, defending champs the Colts fans, you probably heard that big sigh last week when the Titans came back and won that game because it looked like, well, at least we'll be in the same boat as the Titans through 2 weeks. That's not the case. So, yeah, when you say they're going to try to throw the kitchen sink at those ankles, Wentz, he told me yesterday he knows how important it is to play. He's weighing that against his, you know, his future health. but it's not up to him, he says. It's up to the Docs. He wants to be out there. He needs to be out there because, you know, we can sit here and talk all day about what Jacob could do or Hundley could do, but let's face it, if they trot either one of those guys out there, the Titans are going to win, and there's no doubt about that.
And now Curtis Painter is coming to mind, and Dan Orlovsky going to mind, but I hear you. Like,
oh,
I don't disagree, but
they did build this roster thinking, you know, they built this roster around Andrew Luck and thought this is going to be a great roster for a decade. So there are, it's not like it used to be where, okay, Peyton Manning's out, they're going to go 2-14. There's players around them. You don't need Easton or Hundley to go in there and play like an MVP. They can come in there and take care of the ball. But that's where we go back to that O-line. If you expect to get, you know, 150, 200 yards rushing, that falls on the O-line, not QB. And if you, you know, you got some skill guys, you got an offensive line, you got some game wreckers on defense, those guys are going to have to do what Colts fans expected them to do, because even if it is Wentz, it's not going to be that the quarterback won the game for the Colts on Sunday if they spring the upset. It's going to be that all these other guys we heard so much about, that they played well, and you got, you know, not a disastrous performance from your QB.
And on that point with Luck, Chris, you know, I feel like Chris Ballard may be like the most respected / beloved GM in the league right now. I mean, I know at The Athletic we had a poll, and you know, I think he got the most votes. I guess that was with agents, but I mean, he obviously is a very respected guy around the league. Is it full, you know, fan approval for Chris Ballard in Indy right now, or is there any blame being placed on him for not being able to find a QB yet? I mean, it hasn't been a ton of time, but obviously there's kind of bouncing from guy to guy. What's the feeling on Chris Ballard in Indy?
Well, you know, Ballard and Reich both got extensions, and I know in today's world that doesn't mean they're going to be here, you know, tomorrow, but they both got extensions, so Jim Irsay likes them. And I think they do have this feeling of, and here in Indy, that they're, you know, they're down to earth, good people. They're, you know, Hoosier type people. But I was talking to some people the other day. I'm like, okay, if this thing unwinds, even with, you know, because of Wentz, and they go in 4-13, who's got the hot seat? I mean, do you just say, okay, that's fine? Because there was interest from Tom Brady last year to come to Indy, knowing all the pieces that were in place except for a quarterback. But the Colts wanted to go with Phillip Rivers because of Frank Reich's prior relationship with him. And then there was interest. I knew this, and it was broken today. It was put in the Indianapolis Star. A guy I know had told me that Matthew Stafford was looking at homes in Indianapolis, and that was confirmed today. So Stafford had interest in coming here, but Ballard didn't want to give up the King's ransom for trade to get Matthew Stafford here. So could you imagine Tom Brady with the Colts last year? Could you imagine a Matthew Stafford with the Colts this year? So it goes back to the prior relationship Reich had with Carson Wentz. So you see Brady's success, you're seeing what Stafford's done, and who does that fall back on? Who didn't want to pull the trigger? And that would be on Ballard, and to some extent on Reich, due to his preference for, you know, players he was comfortable with and has worked with. So those are some kind of minor things. When you look at the draft picks, you can't argue with the success Ballard has. And Frank Reich has been taking some heat up here now as far as some of these fourth down plays, not taking the points here and there. It bit him a couple times last year, including the playoffs, and it got him last week as well, you know, getting inside the five twice that they came away with no points. So it's all's not well, and you guys know that winning cures everything. So if they could find a way with this ragtag staff, this ragtag quarterback room Sunday to get a win, I think everybody would be like, okay, we're going to be all right.
Certainly very interesting stuff. Chris, looking forward to the game coming up on Sunday, and appreciate you taking time to join us this morning here to break it all down.
I will be there and make sure they have plenty of sweet tea in the press box, because I'm going to be thirsty.
That's right. We can get that figured out for you. Chris Hagan from CBS4
right,
and Indy, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react to what Chris had to say there. Get to the Tennessee Oilers theme song that so many of you are clamoring for on the text line as well. All that coming up next. Right now, though, don't forget, hockey is back in Smashville, and make sure you don't miss out on the 6 home games scheduled during the month of October. October games include 2 Saturday night in Smashville games versus Eastern Conference opponents, Carolina and the New York Islanders. Also got the Kraken, the Kings, the Rangers, the Sharks coming into town as well. So make sure you're there, and the best way to guarantee a spot in Smashville for all the best games is by becoming a season ticket citizen. So if you want more information or to purchase tickets, they're on sale now exclusively at Ticketmaster.com. Once again, on sale exclusively at Ticketmaster.com. Almost don't want to say anything. feel like this segment should just be letting this thing roll, baby. Yeah. Little Ronnie Dunn bringing us back.
It's even better
Tennessee
with
Oilers.
Chase McCabe playing air drums, too, to yes. It. Makes it even better. Yeah, he's rocking.
With the Tennessee Oilers.
Chase is air drums, I'm guitar.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, how could you not get fired up hearing that song?
So here's my question. Back then, was there some thought that maybe they would stay the Tennessee Oilers?
I mean, they were the Oilers for 2 years.
Was there always the plan to rebrand? Yes? Chase is nodding. Which one? Yes, there was always a plan? Okay, there was always a plan. So they were like, hey, it's not going to last long, but this is going to be something you put in a time capsule.
But aren't you just so glad that they did? Because now we have that song to enjoy for the rest of time.
And I mean, that's a nice wordplay. Going to beat you like a drum. that's some good oil wordplay. I like it. Brooks and Dunn.
Yeah, it's almost like they write songs for a living.
It's my favorite Brooks and Dunn song. I can tell you that right now. That is flat out. It shoots to number one on the long list of Brooks and Dunn songs I love.
Supposedly, there are uniforms, helmets, everything of another team name, and Bud got convinced that he liked Titans, and he changed his mind.
Yeah, wasn't it going to be like the Tennessee Tornadoes or something like that? Yeah.
It was Tornadoes?
It was something to that effect. Yeah. It was a complete opposite of Titans and what they became. But, you know, I think the color scheme was similar because he wanted to keep, you know, blue as a part of it, but then he fell in love with the name Titans and changed his mind. But they had already started moving on making it something else.
So it was alliteration. It was a Tennessee T something. Got to find out what this was.
Yeah, I got to go. Tornadoes something came like to mind. I'm not 100% sure that's what it was.
Because Titans, obviously, one of the things with the Titans was the history of the NFL with that name too, right?
Yeah.
As my understanding is.
Yeah, someone tried to explain to me one time, like, well, yes, because Nashville, they're the Titans of music and Titans of the music industry. And I was like, yeah, no, that's kind of a stretch. Yeah,
that's a stretch Armstrong level stretch right there.
Yeah, that's a stretch, yeah. But the Titans, that's what the Jets were originally. Am I right about that?
So, I'm seeing this on a website called sportsteamhistory.com. Titans was chosen over nicknames such as Tornadoes,
there you go,
Copperheads, South Stars, and Wranglers.
Copperheads.
The Tennessee Copperheads.
I kind of like the Wranglers.
The Wranglers.
Well, that's
then Brett Favre could be traded here, and then you could have some really nice jeans commercials. Be good.
Yes. Well, you know, that's the Arizona Wranglers was a USFL team.
The Tennessee Copperheads.
I don't know if you want to copy a USFL team.
I'm kind of glad they went Titans.
Titans, yeah. Alliteration. Elation is good. There you go.
Get fired up for some Copperheads football.
But, you know, again, anytime there's a new team name, it always sounds stupid, though. You know what I mean?
That's true. Like the Cleveland Guardians.
Right.
Like, okay.
Like, again, 100 years from now, I'll be like, those Guardians fans, you know, the Guardians tradition is just, that's just Cleveland. It's as Cleveland as it gets.
Gator Tim saying, I'm pretty sure it was the Tennessee Tuxedos. That would be something.
That's a joke, right? That'd be amazing.
So.
Asterisks in there.
Can you imagine the uniform possibilities?
Oh,
the tuxedos?
Right. All of a sudden you come with like, ooh, got the blue, like the light powder blue look on like homecoming. Oh,
that'd be pretty good.
Not that there's homecoming in the NFL, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
Like, oh, this week we got the vest look. We got the cummerbund look usually, but going with the alt uniform with the vest.
Rexro, did you wear a blue powdered suit to prom?
I did not. I've never worn a powder blue tuxedo, but I've always kind of wanted to.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, I would. I would wear one.
Let's see what in the press box
just
Sunday.
Just a boring black tuxedo.
Ben, texting in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Yes, the Tennessee Tornadoes, because they touched down. My mom was a semifinalist on the artwork for the logo. They took fan applications. She had stuff all over the living room floor for weeks while working on it. So it was pretty close to becoming the Tennessee Tornadoes.
Tell them if
Tornado
they have pictures.
Touchdown.
It's like, oh boy.
Problem is, like, sometimes they actually do touchdown, and then, you know, like, it's awful.
Like, I'm pretty sure.
But then again, like, you get the Miami Hurricane, so.
Yeah, I mean.
Natural disasters, fine. As a mascot.
Earthquakes.
Are there any earthquakes?
Well, that's more of like a CFL arena football team name, but yeah.
The LA Quakes.
Yeah. Who knew? Tennessee Tornadoes.
Tennessee Tornadoes. I did not know that. That's very...
I used to play against a travel baseball team called the Tennessee Tornadoes.
Okay. Huh.
Maybe that's where they got the name.
I think Titans is fine. I mean, I'm sure at the time, I don't know, what was the approval at the time when the Titans... Whenever a name is new for any team, like there's going to be a pretty big group of people upset about it.
That's dumb.
Right? Like, how many times has it ever happened where it's like, that's it, perfect.
The Washington football team.
Yeah. It's real good.
Yeah, they are still coming with a – aren't they still – they are still in the process of a nickname?
How long does that take?
I don't know.
Andrew texting in, those names sound like teams I created in Madden when I was 12. Yeah.
Right, but, I mean, you could say the same thing about Titans or – no, like, just go around the league. I mean, there's some obvious stuff like, you know, stalking cats, like Lions and Panthers. Okay, that's all fine. That's typical. But, I mean, there's some weird, you know – I mean, honestly, like Oilers is kind of a weird name, but I love it, you know, like because it's part of the history, so that it's identified with something. But when it first came out, Oilers,
the hockey team,
there's multiple leagues that have Oilers.
Yes.
I mean, like the Browns,
yeah, it's not good.
Named after a like the family's last name, the Browns.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
The Stanleys. Oh man, gotta go out, get my Stanleys. Get my Stanley's jersey.
Good stuff.
Yeah, you'd be cool with that.
Are you struggling to find and retain good employees? Well, we can help. Cromwell Media invites you to attend one of our two free recruitment and retention seminars hosted by Chris Stonick on October 5th or 6th. For the past 33 years, Stonick has helped hundreds of companies find newer, more cost-efficient ways to recruit qualified employees, learn new recruitment strategies, enjoy a continental breakfast, and be eligible to win door prizes. Go to thegamenashville.com/register for more info and to sign up. When we come back, we'll be joined by Nashville Predators defenseman Mark Borowiecki. Preds training camp underway. We'll have that conversation with Borowiecki coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The vibe has returned. Preds training camp back underway here in Nashville, Tennessee. And we're very pleased now to be back talking about a little hockey. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Nashville Predators defenseman Mark Borowiecki. Mark, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Hey, man. Thank you for having me on. Doing good. Just survived another skate test and sitting out in the sun talking to you now, so it's good.
Well, we appreciate you taking time to join us, Mark. So what are the first couple of days of camp like? Obviously, this is something you've been through time and again, but how do you kind of describe the feeling, the fitness testing, everything that goes into seeing a bunch of your teammates again, everything that goes into the first couple of days of training camp in the NHL?
Yeah, the first 2 days are just a lot of testing. You know, yesterday, medicals, some off-ice testing, today, on-ice testing. So it doesn't matter how long you've been in the league. There's always a bit of a bit of nerves for that. And I don't think it's so much, you know, the tests themselves. It's just, you know, we're all kind of naturally competitive guys, and you have that kind of anticipation and expectation to do well, and kind of creates a little bit of nerves. But, you know, it's been good here. We've had a good group here for the past couple of weeks, actually. So we've been skating together, kind of informal skates in the summer. And I always think that's a really positive thing going into this season. You know, the earlier you get your group together, the more familiar and comfortable you are with each other. And I think it's been a good start for us.
So, Mark, specifically with the decor, what would your assessment be right now of the group and then, you know, how you think you fit into it?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a couple of fresh, you know, looks. I think obviously getting Philly Myers here is going to be big for us. You know, a really good, talented young player, which in time in the league already. And, you know, I was just being able to sit back and kind of watch towards the end of last season. I was just really, really impressed with Alex Carrier, you know, and from day one of meeting him before he even played, you know, just the way he handled himself around the rink and off the ice. I just think he's kind of a consummate professional, and I think he saw it reflected in his play on the ice. So I think he's going to be great for us too. And, you know, I think we have a really nice mix. I'm personally looking forward to this year. I mean, I feel like I've kind of got something to prove, a bit of a chip on my shoulder here. Obviously last year kind of sucked for me personally, dealing with some off-ice stuff and some injuries. You know, I know I've got a lot of good hockey left in me, and I kind of want to pick up, you know, where I left off with how I thought my game was starting to trend before I got hurt. And, I know every player says it, and it's kind of cheesy and overused, but you know, this is the best I've felt in a while. I've got a lot of work this summer, not just physically but mentally too. The hardest I've worked mentally, and I feel prepared and confident and excited.
And Mark, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's been such a pleasure getting to know you a little bit from afar, and excited to, you know, actually be able to meet you in person this year with the new COVID protocols that they've got. But you were very open over the off season about just the mental health struggles that you were dealing with last year. And you know, I think it's becoming more and more talked about in athletics, which is a really good thing. But obviously a tough season for you last year, both physically and mentally, as you've pointed out. I guess how much are you looking forward to kind of that new start? And what did you learn about yourself through everything you went through last year?
I appreciate the kind words, and I appreciate you asking, because I do think it's important. You know, it's an important thing for us to talk about as athletes. You know, especially for the young guys coming into the game now, you're under the microscope. There's so much pressure placed on you externally. And then, you know, to kind of compound everything, I think for the most part, all of us put so much extra pressure on ourselves. And sometimes it's too much to handle. And, you know, I've been down that road for parts of my career. And I think I really underestimated the difficulty of making a change as an established guy in the NHL. You know, I'd been in Ottawa in their system for, 10, 11 years. And moving down here with my family, you know, all the expectations I placed on myself in terms of how I wanted to fit in, you know, I'm predisposed to kind of going down those mental health rabbit holes, and for whatever reason or for a multitude of reasons, that sort of happened to me last year, and then things just didn't go my way. So, you know, again, I put in a ton of work this summer, and I think the more open we talk about, you know, the more open we are as players, the more we're going to help this next generation coming in. And that's kind of a big goal of mine as I'm getting to the back half of my career. It's, you know, how can I be transparent about, you know, the resources that I use, the tactics that I use to help me deal with my mental health issues, and how can I pass those on to kind of this next crop of players coming in? And hopefully just being open and transparent about that helps.
Yeah, Mark, you know, I think, you know, in the years of being in this business, a lot of times I've had discussions with, you know, athletes and coaches, maybe telling a story of adversity, and how, you know, I believe that, like, when someone in the sports world, that kind of platform, tells that story, there are people out there who, you know, it hits those people. Maybe they have a shared experience, or, you know, I think it helps people. And I think the post you had in June, I think that's the type of thing that can really help someone. And I find it interesting, in the last few years, it seems to me, Mark, that it's been so much more of a trend in the sports world, maybe overall too, but I think in particular the sports world, athletes being willing to talk about these things. What is, first of all, do you agree that it's changed a lot? Why do you think it's changed so much? And I guess even in your life, do you have a different view on mental health than you did as a young person? I know for me, it was always like, well, you know, toughen up, right? I mean, deal with this stuff. Yeah, I mean, come on. And now I feel like the discussion's a lot more helpful to people.
Yeah, 100%. I think you hit on a lot of points there. And you know, I definitely think there has been a shift in the last probably 5 years. You know, I still think we have a ways to go. And, you know, I think some of that is kind of self-imposed by players. I think for whatever reason, you know, we still have this idea that it's a sign of weakness if you're open about your mental health or some of these difficult, dark emotions that you're dealing with. And I don't know if that's just a reflection of kind of this, like, masculinity we have in hockey for whatever reason, as if somehow it's not masculine when you're open about your feelings. But, you know, I just think, to me, as I've gotten older, I've realized that being vulnerable and open actually shows more strength. You know, it shows you're willing to try to better yourself and work through these issues versus just, you know, burying them and being scared of them. And then, you know, I just think teams are going to start to realize that, you know, the mental side of the game is huge. You know, it's such a huge part of performance and success and results. And I think teams and organizations are going to start to realize that if we invest time and resources into the mental side of the game, well, you know, pragmatically, we're going to get better results on the ice, right? So why not spend time on that? You know, I think there's more to it than that. I think there's the human side of it. But if anything like that kind of moves the needle in the right direction, I'm all for it. So I think there's just so many reasons to want to invest in this and focus on it.
Press defenseman Mark Borowiecki on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Mark, obviously the team towards the end of last season kind of found the identity that John Hines had been searching for. Based off what you've seen in the informal skate and just the conversations that you've had so far in camp, Where do you think that is? Is that going to be easy, in your opinion, to kind of pick up and build on from the end of last year? How do you guys kind of foresee what your identity is going to be with this group?
Yeah, you know, I had an opportunity to play against a lot of Heinze's teams when I was in the American League, and he was as well. You know, he was coaching a team in the same division as mine, and you know, we down in the American League, we played each other 10 times a year, and they were always hardworking. They were always in your face. You know, their intensity was high, their pace was high, and they're always defensively sound. And you know, I think we kind of lost our way for the first part of that season last year, but you really kind of saw us refocus and get to that identity that he was trying to, you know, help us kind of achieve and get to. And I think that started a lot with our fourth line, kind of the tone those guys set in terms of how we wanted to play, what our expectations were for ourselves. And, you know, I think our intensity and our work ethic has been really high this summer. You know, again, you know, I hit on it earlier, but I think the earlier you can get a group together and the more guys can kind of work and suffer and struggle a little bit on the ice physically, you know, I think the better it is for everyone because we're doing it together. You know, we've been out there doing, you know, voluntary conditioning skates together, you know, things that suck and that you might not want to do, but we've been out there as a group, and I think that's, you know, a good way to kind of lay that foundation.
Mark, a lot of excitement about Philip Tomasino, so I got to ask you, how's he look? And when you have a young, skilled guy like that who's trying to, you know, break into the league, you know, as a veteran, how do you approach that even with encounters on the ice? You know, how do you view your role in that?
Yeah, you know, I've been really impressed. He just has a like really good set of hands, really high hockey IQ, you know, I think in just kind of those informal scrimmages, you can see how he sees the game and processes the game and gets the puck to places. And then I think a big thing for me is seeing him in the gym. You know, he stayed here after development camp. He elected not to go home. He stayed here and trained with us. And, you know, I think very highly of young kids who are kind of willing to make that sacrifice and do that. You know, you could go back home and be comfortable with your own trainer and people you're familiar with, but, you know, he stayed here and rolled with some of the NHL guys, and he was right there with me in the gym every day slugging it out, and, you know, I think that's a huge step in the right direction, and, you know, I think as an older guy now, as the oldest guy in this organization, which is kind of scary to say, I think, you know, I can kind of, I don't feel that old, but I think I can kind of try to help instill some of those work habits and make sure that those, you know, are kept carrying forward, because, you know, this is the kind of league where someone's kind of always knocking on the door, trying to take your spot and your ice time. And, you know, as a young guy, if you have a little bit of success early, you think you can kind of let your foot off the gas a bit. But next thing you know, instead of moving forward, you know, you're kind of losing ground. So even though he might have some success early, it's important to kind of keep those work habits up. And I think that's where, as a group, our older guys can really step in and help.
Mark, last thing for you here. Obviously, this is the first time, I think, since 2004. That the Predators have a training camp and Pecorine is not a part of it. And I know that you only spent 1 year with him as a teammate, but is it weird not see Pekka around the building? What's kind of that been like, and what was your experience like playing with Pekka for 1 year?
Yeah, I mean, I'd heard a lot of stories about what he was like as, you know, not just a player, but as a teammate and as a person. And, you know, it's pretty easy to say that those were all true. You know, everyone talked about what a great guy he was, what a great human he was. You know, before they talked about what a great player he was. I mean, we all knew how awesome he was on the ice, you know, what he did for this team and this organization and what he did for goalies in this league. But to see the way he handled himself off the ice, he was always so kind and courteous and considerate to everyone, all staff members, everyone who worked for the organization. He never had a bad word to say about anyone. And I think it's just, you know, that's the kind of guy who you can look at and say, hey, that's who I want to model my career after and you know, my kind of legacy off the ice after. So, yeah, it's definitely strange not seeing him. He's been the face of this franchise for a long time. You know, from me being in the league for a while, he was always the guy we had to get past when we came into Bridgestone or when they came to play us. So to not see him in the Nets, it's tough. But, you know, I think it's going to be a really good transition to Juice. I mean, I think he ticks a lot of those same boxes. He's such a good kid. He's such a nice person. He's also has all those same kind of good positive qualities that Pekka does. And, you know, he's the kind of guy that you want to fight for in net, too. So I think we're in great hands with Juice.
Well, Mark, we're really looking forward to it and so glad that hockey is back and that training camp is fired up for you guys. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me on and hope to see you soon around the rink.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Preds Mark. Defenseman Mark Borowiecki, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Some great stuff there from Mark We've got a lot to react to on that front, and we'll do that coming back from break. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from Rock Bottom Brewery in downtown Nashville this Sunday. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Join them from 9:30 to 11:30 live at Rock Bottom Brewery on Broadway prior to the Titans taking on the Indianapolis Colts. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. We'll be right back here, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune into the NFL Game of the Week on ESPN 94.9, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The NFL Game this week is Philadelphia taking on Dallas on Monday night, kickoff set for 7:15. And lots of sports to get to this weekend. Make sure you tune into Nashville Sounds Baseball as well, presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans tonight on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds continue their final home series of 2021, hosting Columbus, the AAA affiliate of the Cleveland Indians. It's Fan Appreciation Week at First Horizon, and you can enjoy $5 or $6 beers all week long. Grab tickets today. Visit NashvilleSounds.com. First pitch is at 7:05. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hey, good job.
Thanks, appreciate that. Thanks to Mark Borowiecki for joining us in the last segment. I'll tell you what, and Keith said this on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You talk about an awesome guy and a dude to root for. Mark Borowiecki wears his heart on his sleeve. And look, I don't know what his role is going to be this year. I think there's a place for him. He's probably not going to be a guy that plays every night for this team. But I tell you what, I mean, it's easy to see why he is a very popular teammate, because he's raw, he is honest. And pretty good conversation with Mark Borowiecki in the last segment.
Yeah, really, really good. And another example, we've talked about it some with other athletes too, but that breaking through the whole, you're weak if you admit any sort of, you know, mental health issues that need to be addressed. Again, in sports, I think he's right. In the sports world, like maybe in the hockey world in particular, maybe more in the football world too, the whole, you know, the whole tough guy thing. But I think even in, for me, it's probably a little different than for you guys because I'm so much older. It's changed a lot from
my young days. Oh, it's changed a lot from mine. Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like even, you know, like he said, 5 years, 5-7 years, something like that. That's a good thing. And good for him for contributing positively to it.
We got some tickets to give away for Nashville SC. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win some tickets to see Nashville SC take on Orlando coming up on Wednesday, September 29th. So caller number 3, 615-737-1025. Nashville SC, a big win last night as well. Hani Mukhtar, 2 goals. Walker Zimmerman, a goal, and Joe Rexrode, the number one play on the SportsCenter Top 10 from last night. As you know, that's a big deal to me. I still enjoy the SportsCenter Top 10.
Well, I retweeted Luke Hawkinson's angle on that, which was cool. But the angle that, you know, the SportsCenter used, I mean, he could have reverse double pump dunked with that vertical on that play.
Yeah.
Man, did he get up there. That was pretty awesome.
Big win for Nashville SC, 5-1. Last night against Miami, Randall Leal scoring as well. So that means the listener, Stephen from Murfreesboro, got his pick right yesterday in NSC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila with Hani Mukhtar, Michelle with Randall Leal, Robbie Stanley with Walker Zimmerman, and CJ Sapong let you down a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 5-1 win, CJ, you can't make it 6-1. I mean, come on.
If you would have told me that they were going to score 5, I would have thought there was a pretty good chance Sapong, he'll be one of them.
Yeah. But Mukhtar is the lock.
Well, there are NSC fans that think that he absolutely could be and should be in the conversation for MLS MVP. And look, it seems like every single game that goes by. He is dominant out there. Once again last night, and he only played like 65 minutes last night because somebody tried to take him out of the game for Miami, and he got hurt.
But that doesn't sound too bad.
No,
yes?
It does not. Not. It's going to be no long-term damage. I forget the exact phrase that Gary Smith used, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah. It was good phrasing. I forgot what it was, too. We talked about it in the, like at 6 a.m. It's been a long time.
We did. It was, quote, "I don't see any lasting damage for Hani Mukhtar."
There you go. That's good.
So, Rexford, what do you keep an eye on today at Titans practice in terms of the injury report? Obviously, Bud Dupree not practicing yesterday. Taylor Lewan did practice yesterday. Derrick Henry not practicing yesterday, but that was, as listed on the injury report, not injury related, due to rest.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say give him another day off today.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah, and Taylor Lewan practicing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
It is, despite what people may tell you.
Titans fans, it's a good thing. My gosh. I think today, Ben Jones, Roger Saffold, both of those guys didn't practice. Ben Jones with a knee. I feel like he's in pretty regular pain after plays. Bending over, then he sucks it up, gets back out there, but that's not great. Roger Saffold's shoulder, had to leave the game. What's up with those guys today? You know, Bud Dupree, I mean, I feel like that's more of a, I mean, that's how they're going to manage his situation. But Jayon Brown and Anthony Firkser are also important guys for this team and for this game. You know, obviously the big news today on the injury report front is from Indy for this game, because can Carson Wentz, which again, this is a new one for me on the injury report, ankles. Can Carson Wentz get out there and do anything today? They've also got, you know, Braden Smith is another key guy hurt. Xavier Rhodes with a calf, key guy for them. I mean, if they don't have Xavier Rhodes, I don't like the matchup for them anyway on the outside. I like it less if Xavier Rhodes isn't out there. So both these teams have a lot of injury stories to follow here that a lot of times Thursday kind of helps clear things up. I mean, if Saffold and Ben Jones aren't out there again, you know, then you start thinking about, that's two interior guys who are hurt. We saw Aaron Brewer come out and do a nice job.
Yeah.
But we might be looking at Dylan Radins.
Yeah.
Potentially going from, is he going to be inactive as a rookie to starting? And this is a possibility. Now, Corey Levin also is back. Let's not forget that. So, in theory, could be him at center, could be Brewer at guard, but maybe Dylan Radins is a story this week.
Better get ready. And if you're a Titans fan, I don't know how you feel about that, but I guess we might find out.
Welcome to the NFL, and here's DeForest Buckner.
Have fun with that. Make sure you join Stillman & Company this Monday from 2 to 6, live from the Bodie Hotel, located at 401 2nd Avenue South. Bodie is only a 15-minute walk from Nissan Stadium and a great place to meet your friends and tailgate before the game in the courtyard that offers fire pits, picnic tables, lounge chairs, vintage truck seating, cornhole, and more. Stop by and grab some game swag and sign up for your chance to win a pair of tickets. To win a pair of tickets, see WWE Raw at Whitestone Arena coming up on Monday, October the 4th. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.